Willing Solution family, welcome back to the show. I am really pleased to have a good friend with me. You know, Women's History Month is over, but we are not. We are still continuing to celebrate, particularly when we have the opportunity to talk to wonderful leaders, such as the person I'm going to introduce today. Nancy Goebel took over as DWG's CEO at the start of 2023, and DWG stands for Digital Workplace Group. Since joining DWG in 2007, she's held various roles, most recently as Managing Director of Member Services, with responsibility for global expansion. Prior to joining DWG, Nancy was a seasoned executive at JP Morgan Chase in Manhattan, where we had the chance to work together on a few things. She built and led a global team in designing and implementing an award-winning intranet. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, James. This is a treat on so many levels. Of course, we have history, yes, and that's always special. But we had a chance to come together on a podcast that I run. Yes. And so to turn the tables today is pretty exciting.
Turning the tables, indeed. It's so good to see you. Let me ask you a question. One of the things I read is that you are a keen meditator, a Reiki practitioner, which I certainly did not know. An amateur winemaker, again, which I certainly did not know. Fundraiser, doesn't surprise me. Mentor, mother of two, got it. Bilingual, did not know. And a practitioner of international business. Now, having said all those things, what's one thing you can share with my audience that even those closest to Nancy do not know?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess the thing that would surprise people most is that I was painfully shy growing up. And it was one of those things I always admired people around me who were outgoing, yeah, gregarious, and said to myself, I feel like this is a handicap and I have to figure out how to overcome it. And so I'd say that shyness continued well into my teens. Mm-hmm. And by the time I was getting ready for college, I said, okay, time to break the cycle. Yeah. And I ended up setting up challenges for myself for each summer, mm-hmm, as my path to becoming what was an introvert to ultimately an ambivert, right? To adjust to different circumstances.
Yeah, yeah.
And so year one, I took an internship as a telemarketer. So had to learn how to sell.
Yeah.
Year two, I created another internship opportunity that allowed me to build on that and started working in the city, mm-hmm, for a large corporate. And then by year three, I packed my suitcase, left for France, and spent a summer studying at the University of Nice. Mm. Didn't know anyone among my classmates. I knew one of the professors, but I went to live with a French family for the duration. And I have to say, setting those challenges for myself actually built the foundation for how I ended up managing my entire career to date.
That is really good. You know, I had not heard the term ambivert before. And so love it, because similar to you, I'm a natural introvert, but certainly adjust to different situations. And what was interesting to me, I don't know if this happened for you, during our time at JP Morgan Chase, I feel like I took the Myers-Briggs four times and moved, mm-hmm, from this kind of extreme INTJ to this E3, right? And balanced in most things. And I remember talking to one of the, you know, coaches, et cetera, about it. And they said, well, no, you're adjusting, right? You've changed and you've become more malleable, right? And more cognizant of things around you, but you can shift to different situations. So I love that term, ambivert. Now I have a place, yeah, I have a name, a label I can use.
Exactly. And I think, you know, we're called upon to draw from our inner voice, our inner thought process to start,
yes,
but then bringing others around us into conversation, whether it's to collaborate, to innovate, et cetera, is so key.
Yeah.
And to be able to work situationally from outside or inside out, right, is what the ambivert ultimately needs to be able to do.
That's good. That's good. So tell folks a little bit about what you do at Digital Workplace Group.
So the best way to think about it is that almost every organization nowadays has a fashion of a digital headquarters. Look at how we're working through this podcast mm-hmm. together. We're not sitting in the same room across the table with microphones. We're operating virtually.
Right.
And so whether it's to converse, to collaborate, to get stuff done, to innovate, we all, in some sense, need to be able to tap different digital capabilities to do that, especially those that are working in Fortune 1000 or equivalent companies.
Indeed.
And so DWG has been around for the better part of 22 years now, and we work primarily with large corporates, although we do touch other industry segments in North America and Europe. And ultimately, we're all about helping these large organizations unlock the full potential of their digital headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do in-depth research. We bring leaders together to share and learn from each other. We have a very robust knowledge base that we can draw from when people have questions or challenges they're working through.
Mm-hmm.
But we equally have a benchmarking capability so that we can measure progress of individual organizations or cross organizations. And then we have a consulting arm. So if you think about it in very simple terms, the membership side of DWG is where we get to explore what good looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Benchmarking is where we measure against it. And finally, through the consulting side, we undertake different interventions to either help bridge the gaps from the benchmarking or help set the next stage ambition to keep driving towards that success.
You know, one of the things I took note of during Women's History Month is that 10% of CEO roles in Fortune 500 companies are occupied by women. And I think it's a far cry than, well, for me, it was worse than I thought, if I can say it that way. Right. I have one thought about it as a Black male. I understand the challenges, right, for my population, both in CEO roles and board roles, quite frankly, right? The numbers are just not moved significantly enough in the right direction. When I say that to you, what comes to mind in terms of what that journey has been like for you to get to a CEO role?
So maybe I'll expose another layer to who I am. So I am someone who is of French Caribbean origin. So I'm multiracial. You know, it's not obvious to look at me, but I have, roughly a 70-30 split European origin, West African origin.
Gotcha.
And that's not uncommon for people who come from the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
But with all that said, on a certain level, you can say there are layers, right, to the challenges. And when you start to think about not only women in senior leadership positions in corporate America, but then when you go into STEM,
mm-hmm.
so into science, technology, engineering, or math, that number goes even lower. And so here I am sitting as someone who's in an organization that's a cross between management consulting and technology.
Right,
and
right.
so the numbers there tend to be even lower. And so, you know, I can't tell you, James, that when I was that shy 15-year-old that I expected to be where I am today.
Sure.
But what I can tell you is that I decided to walk the way of the warrior from a young age, as opposed to sitting in the land of the worrier, and have always tried to set challenges for myself each and every step of the way to get to where I thought I needed to be next.
Mm.
And so I was very fortunate that I was able to break into the Wall Street scene where we met at JP Morgan, and I did not come in through a training program track. I came in as just a regular college hire and sought ways to sort of bridge the gap. And that took tenacity, that took being the student of the craft,
mm-hmm.
whatever my assignment happened to be at that moment, but also living in the land of yes.
Yeah.
Anytime senior leadership would come to me and say, would you be up for fill in the blank, I would always say yes. Mm-hmm. And often those were roles that weren't pre-scripted. There was a goal, there was a project, and I had to figure it out. And so I just rolled up my sleeves and figured out how to get stuff done. Yeah. And then on the other side, tell the story about it and just continuing to do that and refine that. But I also was surrounded by amazing leaders like you, as well as women at JP Morgan. And so that level of exposure mm-hmm. was not only a motivator, but also an enabler. And I think for those women who have broken through the glass ceiling, I dare say they would exhibit a lot of the same qualities.
That's good. Let me go back to something you said. I think this is really because it's amazing how certain phrases literally give you a visual image, and that could be because I'm just such a visual person. But when you said, you know, take the path of the warrior and not sit too long in the, what'd you say, in the land of the warrior. Do me a favor, and because I think it's listen, we as humans, we can do mental gymnastics about things we worry about for a prolonged period of time, right? We can go one on one. Describe for me how you even got to that phrasing and what it looks like when you're sitting in the land of worry.
Okay. So I was exposed to this construct of the worrier versus the warrior as part of my meditation circle. And so it was a term that was introduced to me to challenge me even further in how I operated as an individual. Because ultimately my true north, right, is that shy person. Mm-hmm. And when one is shy, there tends to be fear associated with that. And so there's one thing that happens that shifts you from that worrier to warrior role, and that's facing your fear, right? That's exhibiting courage. That's doing something positive or constructive with the fear. So when you live in the land of the worrier, you're stuck here. I'm pointing to my head, right? Yeah. The chatter that goes on in your head. When you live in the land of the warrior, you shift that down to here, and I'm pointing to my heart and my solar plexus, right? That's operating at a heart level and a soul level. And that gives you the fuel to take that first step forward or that first series of steps forward and translate from fear, chatter, to courage, action.
Yeah.
So that's how that way of thinking works for me.
And I love your storyline about taking on challenges, particularly those that didn't have a carved out path associated with them. For me, what comes to mind is it's easy to, well, I don't want to say easy. It's easier to go across wood where there's been some carve out in that wood, right? So the water can flow through that and maybe you can get a higher level of water or a more efficient level of water. It's different when there's no groove cut yet. Talk about, you know, with that as kind of context, some of the most transformational moments for you.
I think the biggest one was the day my late husband said to me, "You have known nothing but the Wall Street life for the duration of your career. You're coming up on 20 years. And as you probably remember, often that carried long hours with
Absolutely.
It. And he was keen for me to come closer to home, to be closer to family. And that conversation really gave me pause to say, maybe I don't have all of my priorities in the right places because I was prioritizing work and career first at that time. And so I remember distinctly the day that I went to my manager and said, you know, we're supposed to have our career development discussion, but I want to take it in a different direction than what you are thinking. I believe the next best step for me is to leave the company. Now, I didn't have something else lined up. I wasn't leaving for another job. I said, I know we are planning to exit certain jobs out of New York City, specifically technology jobs. Why don't I help you reach the target and create the prototype for how that would work for a 3-year program that'll be in play. Now, this was quite a few years ago. And I said at the end, I want a package. I want to be able to have a golden parachute so I can figure out what I want to be when I grow up next. Right. And what happened from there was surprising and exciting and happened much faster than I could have imagined. I thought I was going to take 2 years to find myself and to get my then toddler into school age and in the right place so that I could continue my career, but on a different trajectory. What ended up happening is one fateful day, I got a phone call from an entrepreneur, futurist, and exceptional business leader named Paul Miller, who was running then Internet Benchmarking Forum, now Digital Workplace Group. And he said, I'd love to expand the business into North America. Mm. Would you like to help me? Mm. And that meant opening up my Rolodex and selling for the first time. Mm. I'd never done anything like that. Arguably, you could say you sell in everything that you do, but I meant sell on a commercial level.
I know what you mean. Totally.
And that is how my connection to DWG was born. Didn't plan for it, but you know what? I said yes. Yeah. And I took on every role I could along the way, started as a freelancer, helped build a business, and you know, ultimately stepped in as CEO first of the year 2023.
Mm-hmm. That's good. What gave you the courage to initiate that conversation and make that statement to your manager at the time? I mean, what did it feel like that morning driving in, right? Readying yourself mentally to say that.
So I'll add another layer. Yeah. It was done remotely.
Okay. Even more challenging if you ask me.
At that time, my manager and I both worked from home on Fridays.
Gotcha.
And it happened to be a Friday when we were having this conversation. We had done the performance review part of things in person, but the career development side we felt comfortable doing remotely. And so we did. And I don't have to tell you, my heart was pounding because I knew nothing other than the Wall Street life and as my career up until that point.
Sure.
So I worked for one employer for the duration.
Since college, you had always been there.
Yeah, fresh out of college. So I was nervous going into it, but I was prepared. I had the conversation with my manager, and then I burst into tears as soon as I got off the call because it, you know, it was in my DNA by that point. Working for this wonderful organization, but for my life to get to where it needed to be next, it was time for a pivot.
Yeah.
And each day, I remember my manager saying, "Your smile is growing bigger and bigger." And it ended up that we had a 6-month timeline for this relocation strategy project. And it happened in 3. And so I just had momentum on the other side of that conversation and a sense of freedom because I felt almost like a child in a sense, getting ready for a big adventure that I had no idea, you know, where it was going to take me. And suddenly I started feeding off of that excitement. And here we are today.
That's good. That's really good. What do you want to accomplish during your time in the chair as CEO? What will you walk away, or what do you want to walk away saying about your time in that position?
So I think it's really simple. First and foremost, I want to help DWG reach its full potential. We are a hidden pearl in a lot of ways in our industry, although we work with, you know, lots of major corporates that are household names, from, you know, from 3M to the Coca-Cola company to Barclays and, you know, and many others. but I do see tremendous growth potential for DWG. Mm-hmm. And I think about that on three layers or three levels: the team, our members, and the organization itself. And we are at a point where the future of work is now. Mm-hmm. We're in the, you know, past the birth of the age of AI, mm-hmm. Into a point in time where things are changing very rapidly on a technological level, and people need support to be able to rise to the new pace of change, right. And to be able to transform what they're doing, because AI is very present, mm-hmm. and that will only continue to intensify. But there are many other things that we need to be able to do digitally day to day, to converse, to collaborate, to innovate, you know, all the things I said yes. earlier. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel as though we've got a formula for success that can help a much wider circle of organizations than we do today. Yeah. So growth on those three levels: team, members, and organization. Mm. The other thing is, you know, I can't wait to come to my desk or to wherever I am, you know, if I'm at a client location on any given day. And I think the reason why is because I'm surrounded by amazing people, mm. whether it's colleagues or clients, what we call our members. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, continuing to surround myself with amazing people, that puts spring in my step. Yeah. And it's a must have for me. It's like air. Not to forget that lesson my husband challenged me to take on, mm-hmm. which is to make sure that I still find time to stop and smell the roses, maybe peonies in my case. That's my favorite flower. But also that I have a responsibility to share my sparkle with others. We all need to share what we know, mm-hmm. Share our curiosity to help take things forward.
Absolutely.
And just to lean in and continue to live in that land of yes.
That's good. That's good.
And
what would you tell the 20-year-old Nancy if you had a chance to go back and give her some advice?
I think there are a few short lessons that you can take from just this conversation today. Mm-hmm. One is to always be the student of your craft. I think part of the reason why I've been able to shapeshift over the years is because I'm always reading and taking in information about industry, about business, mm-hmm. about technology. I also think this notion of walk the way of the warrior
yeah.
is critically important. Yeah. Face your fears and do something positive with that fear. Mm-hmm. Live in the land of yes. Mm-hmm. Because opportunities flow from that.
Yeah.
Pay it forward, right? Share your sparkle.
Yeah.
Because you always have something you can give to another to support their progress and their development. And it comes back to you manyfold and often in surprising ways. But the last thing I would say that we haven't talked about that I would add to the equation is master the art of storytelling.
Mm, mm. Say more.
So when you take on a new project or a new challenge, you need to bring people along the ride with you. Yeah. Most of us trade on social capital, right? Give to get,
right.
In order to move things forward. And to bring people along for the ride, especially if you're managing by influence, mm-hmm. more than managing by a direct team, and I've done that a lot of my career, you have to be a compelling storyteller to bring them along with you yeah. if part of what they're doing is volunteering their time to help your project. Yep. But then on the other side, you have to be able to show the value, the output of whatever project or role you're working on the other side. And so, you know, every role, every project needs to have a payoff for the organization. Mm-hmm. What is the return on investment that's being made, hard and or soft? Yeah. And being able to tell that story backed by numbers is really important mm-hmm. as well. And often on the other side of a success, people don't remember the numbers. Yeah. They remember the story.
Yeah. That's good. Nancy, that's so good. Let me close with this question. One thing that seems painfully obvious to me is attitude, outlook, perspective, and it feels intentional. When you mm-hmm. talked about some of the advice points to your earlier self, for the most part, they were in that space, right? You talked about also earlier being a, I would say a lifetime learner, right? Being a student of your industry, mm-hmm. et cetera. But to me, the undergirding of all of that was about positive outlook, perspective, optimism, et cetera. How do you keep yourself in that frame of mind?
So I'll share two things. One is I have a dream board that sits at the foot of my bed. So every day when I wake up, it's the first thing I see. Mm-hmm. And my dream board captures things that I want to accomplish on four levels: body, spirit, mind, heart. Because mm-hmm. I think those are the layers that make up an individual. And so what sits on the dream board changes yeah. in time. Yeah. So for example, when I lost my husband, I had to figure out what I wanted out of life next. And so, you know, I created a whole new dream board at that point in time, and I've been adding to it ever since as I've been figuring out what I want next out of life. The other thing is that it might surprise you to hear that I work from home 80% of the time-ish. Yeah. And when I travel, it's usually to spend time with my team or with our members. When I'm home, I'm working in my favorite room in my house, yeah. and I start every day meditating.
That's good.
I light a candle. It has an oil burner with my favorite scent, which is patchouli. And I ground myself. I call it my mental commute because yeah. I don't have a physical commute. And often when we have physical commutes, that allows us to transition from home life to work life. And so that moment allows me to shift mm-hmm. mindset from Nancy at home to Nancy in her role yeah. at DWG. So setting the tone for the day is really important. And what do I want to accomplish?
That's good.
Again, body, spirit, mind, heart for the day.
So good. So good. Nancy Goble, if people want to reach out to you, learn more about you, learn more about DWG, what do you advise?
Hit me up on LinkedIn. Or on X, either way is absolutely fine. And of course, if they can catch Digital Workplace Impact along the way, that would be great too.
And the podcast. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly.
So good to see you as always. Thank you for joining.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, James. Great to catch up with you, and what a wonderful conversation. Thank you.